No, that was perfect.
This whole image of him, this whole visual of that the teacher has got a cool haircut, cool tweed jacket. He's walking down, and all the students are all real proud of him. Like, check him out. Check out Teach-Ass.
Yo, Teach-Ass, looking good today. He's giving the AOK sign.
Check him out. Oh, thanks. Thanks for noticing, is what the teacher says. Thank you, children. But get back to your studies. I know this.
Quick, call me Teach-Ass. I'm a TA. Moe, are we rolling right now?
Yeah, you bet it. You bet it, Red.
Oh, we rolling. It's Loser Leaves Wrestling. This is the news. No, not the news. This is the woos and whats. The woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. We just finished watching it, Moe and I. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Moe Jaswal.
Excellent. Moe, how are you feeling today?
It's just another Wednesday. So you know what that means. Lots of anxiety. When pro wrestling...
The big Wednesday. It's the big Wednesday chore.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like a chore tonight, which is... Yeah.
No, but it was a mixed bag tonight. We could talk about it. This is the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite, where we cover the goods and the bads of this past week's AEW. Also, make sure just to follow us on all the Loser Leaves Wrestling things, and like and subscribe to the podcast. Whatever you're listening to, like it or review. Send us an email... just to let us know which services you use, because I'm not sure what you use. I'm not sure. But that's neither here nor there. This
right.
The
you need to know so much about them. You're just desperate to find out
I'm
information
desperate for
about
knowledge.
Them.
They're doing great. They're doing great. We have some new fans. In Malaysia. We have some Malaysian fans.
Oh my gosh,
fans,
I knew it. I knew we would always be big in Malaysia.
I was hoping to break into that market, honestly, and now we've done it, so we could move on. We could continue conquering North America, because we haven't broken into Mexico yet.
Or America.
We have not broken... What?
Or America.
We blew up this
Wait,
past week in America.
Blew up?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay,
but
yeah, this is...
We got some... our friends over in Virginia and Wisconsin and Illinois... We have a lot of friends all over the place, from coast to coast, they say.
Beautiful.
But we have to talk about this AEW Dynamite. We got to talk about the woos and whats. And Moe, why don't you start us off with your first big woo of the evening.
Dear God, one of the best women's matches I've ever seen.
Excellent.
Tonight. Yeah, Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa, unsanctioned lights out match. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. You liked it?
Britt, yeah, they both did such a great job. They pulled out all the stops. I could... The only criticism is they did so much. They did so much, which is crazy, and it was really great. The only criticism is I could say they didn't need to, but they did such a great job.
I was
hooked.
I think they did need to. I think they needed to raise the bar in this level, because this is the same level that men's matches have gone to at certain points, like unsanctioned lights out matches that they've done has gone to this length. So this is a big moment, I think, to prove that. To give them more time. Give the women's performers more time. Give them something to do, you know?
I wish
they have
it did end.
Lately. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, and they have been lately. It has been getting better. It seems like the tide has turned. They're really paying attention to them now. And this is like major proof like that they can handle it. You know, it's one of the best matches I've seen on AEW, really. It's up there.
100%. I was hooked. Throughout the entire thing, I was hooked. My only wish is that they ended on the tax. Because I thought the tacks were much, much better visual than the table spot.
Yeah.
That's my only... I would have just reversed that order. I would have done the table spot, and then I would have done the tacks.
I love thumbtacks. I love them. Because I bet...
I do, too. It looks so bad.
It's just so painful, and it sucks to think about landing. Like, it's just a very like, psychological thing to watch.
Especially with your hands.
Oh, God,
that's the thing that always gets me, is when they do... Like, they put their hands on the mat, and you see them wince. And I'm just like, oh, that feeling of it going into a finger.
Ugh. Do you think it hurts though? Like that one would sound bad. But I'm thinking like a slam, like a very like getting all these tacks in very quickly. Like I wonder.
You definitely feel you feel it a lot more when you leave that curtain, but you still feel it. I'd imagine that the adrenaline would have you not feeling the 10 that it is. But like once you leave, that adrenaline drops. You feel it 100%.
And you gotta take them all out individually. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Man, but great job. Britt, they did such a good job.
She cut so deep, too. I was scared. I got worried for her. I thought she'd cut too deep and like that would be a real problem. And then it turned out she was fine. Or not fine, but able to continue and all that, yeah.
It looked like it affected her at first. When she first started noticing the blood, and like even you could see Rebel saying just like, kind of like, watch out, I think you're bleeding a lot. And it felt like there was some genuine concern from the official and from Rebel. And then there's something happened. I guess she got hit. And then all of a sudden she became Britt Baker again. Yeah. And she had that smile laugh as she was getting up with the blood in her eyes. Mm-hmm. What a great... She did such a good job. And I feel like she proved a lot of critics wrong today. Mm-hmm. With what she's capable of doing and deserving of that spot. She did a lot. I was not expecting her to go to Tax.
Yeah. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect the blood, at least not the way they pulled it off, you know? I didn't expect a lot of it. And, they really... I saw a lot of, tweets, interviews and things throughout the week hyping up the match. And they were treating it like a big deal online. And I don't know. Maybe I was just busy. But it didn't really connect the dots. I'm like, why are they doing... It's a main event. That's a huge deal. But after seeing what they were planning, I could see why all this tension was being built, why they were thinking this, you know, it's huge. I think it's a very iconic, it'll be remembered for years, I feel.
One of what I feel that AEW does, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that I feel a lot of these big matches are made the week before, but they promote the hell out of them during the week. Mm-hmm. Rather it be like, because like I... When did they announce this match? Last week, probably.
Yeah, it was literally last week, yeah.
And you never expect it to be a big match. You never expect it when they give it a 1 week's notice. You don't expect it to be this big barn burner. But the fact that they kept promoting it throughout the week, I'm just like, well, I guess they really want this match to shine.
Maybe this is just like a new era. Like, this is, we just have to pay attention to that. Like, I'm used to, and I think traditionally, it would also make way more sense if they built this up over weeks to get to this moment.
100%.
It would make it feel way more intense. But maybe there's maybe there's good shock value in just being like, I'm not going to expect anything. And then just blows your fucking face off of how crazy it is, you know? Like, because they do it consistently. Like, remember the bunkhouse match?
Yeah, the bunkhouse brawl.
Yeah, the parking lot, all these things, like, oh, it's just a week long. It'll be fine. The pay-per-view's in a couple months, you know? And then they pull this sort of thing out. So it's very interesting. I guess I just got to get used to this style now.
It makes it exciting TV. It makes it exciting TV. And unlike WWE, where you know nothing is going to happen on SmackDown, I don't know what's going to happen on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it feels good. Feels good. Great job, AEW. Great job with that main event. Let's get some other woos out of there. Were you agreed on that first one? What's your next big woo?
Kenny Omega, snap into his theme song.
Low the bar was for you today?
Or a very close call. Number two is Pentagon wearing a green leprechaun hat.
God damn it.
Those were close. I could tell. We could put them in both number two slot if you want.
Let me give you my number two. It's the MJF promo.
Oh, wait. That is actually way better than...
That
the leprechaun
so
hat.
You jerk.
I just forgot about it. Excellent.
Like that, them setting up. So it's MJF, the kind of bringing out his new stable of Tim, Tully Blanchard, Sean Spears, Wardlow, and FTR. And they're now called the Pinnacle. The Pinnacle. What do you feel about that name before we talk about his promo?
It hasn't hit me yet, but then again, Inner Circle didn't really do much for me at first, and now I'm like used to it. So it sounds weird. You know, there's some weird poetry to it. Yeah, you know,
I think it sounds weak. I'm tired of these names that are so on the nose. You know, like I'm okay with Inner Circle, but I would love for instead of Pinnacle be called Apex. Or top tier, not top tier sounds dumb. That sounds real. Or first class. Or I'm sure there's there's something they could do besides. I don't know. Pinnacle just sounds dumb.
I'm just glad because they had a weird routine in last March, I guess, when everyone was still sort of grouping together. They're doing it again, but they had a routine where like it was all around geometry. So I can only remember two: Inner Circle and then Death Triangle. And sure. I feel like there's a third. I just can't remember. But it was just getting...
quad.
Yeah, something with squares or a hexagon or something. But, so I'm glad they stopped doing that. They're trying different... They're branching out a little bit. But,
But the MJF promo, where he goes into each wrestler on his team and just kind of, like, talks them up. And then undresses Chris Jericho. With his insults, making fun of his hairline, his broken pectoral.
It is pretty messed up. It's just all just appearance. He's just making fun of his entire appearance. Yeah. His belly. He's got,
Did he make fun of his belly?
I thought he said something about he didn't work out or something, or needed the exercise or something about that. Yeah.
But he really is the best heel in the business right now. There's no one better. There's no one you want to hate more. There's no one that gets the crowd actually angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a great line with where he was saying that he has 25 years to be the GOAT, to beat Chris Jericho. Because it puts Jericho on the pedestal right now. It's like implicitly acknowledges that he is the GOAT right now, or at least to MJF. But it also puts MJF over, saying that he's so freaking young still, and he's got all this time to prove himself. He's already on a Chris Jericho level right now. So what's he going to do in the next freaking, 25 years? It's crazy. So.
It gave me chills. That was a great promo by him. And the way he talked to the camera, the way he changed and altered his voice throughout. He knows how to grab you. Mm-hmm. He knows how to grab you. Great job, MJF. Great job. So let's talk about one of these side ones that you had. You're talking about Penta's zebra hat.
We can move on. I just like it. It was a cute moment. He put on the hat and he stared right at the camera and he looked me right in the eyes. He went, "Mow it." I was like, "What? Woo!" And then he threw the hat off and kicked Cody. I'm like, "Oh, wow. Thank you." I think I liked it because it was directly towards me. It meant a lot to me. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you about some of my woos. What did you feel about Jade Cargill?
That was actually going to be my third. I was going to mention that. Yeah, I actually thought that was a good, good squash match. I didn't realize it was her second match ever. I swore I saw her on Dark or something. I don't know. I thought we had talked about how she had wrestled before or something. I don't know. I was really surprised to hear it was her second match. And I feel like I was a little too harsh on her in her first match, her debut match with Shaq and everybody.
No, I don't think you were very harsh. I think it was just awkward. It was a terrible position to put someone in like a pretty new wrestler. We're two fairly inexperienced wrestlers with one pretty experienced one that's not allowed to fight them.
Yeah.
You have Cody that he's not able to work with any of them. He's only able to work with a non-wrestler. So it was a poor position to put Jade Cargill in.
So
honestly, I don't think that was right.
And if I can make a theory of why I didn't like the first one, but why I like this one is she, in the first one, she was constantly just, doing like video game taunts towards the camera, constantly just looking at it and like flexing her muscles and like staring at it. And it just ruined the whole like reality of it. Of just like, she just stopped after every move and it just felt like, I don't know. It just felt very, very poor awareness. Mm-hmm. But then the second match, this match tonight, she did the exact same thing, but it worked because it was a squash and it was just her destroying someone. And it was a little bit more believable because Danny Jordan was just like, selling being knocked out or whatever. So it gave Jade time to do whatever taunts.
She's scary.
My theory. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I think she has a lot of potential for sure. But I think my theory is, I wonder if she was just trained like to do that style of match to start out with, of like, you want to prove yourself. You want to show off to the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And it just didn't work in a high-paced, high-profile tag team match,
You're 100% right.
But in a squash, it worked, and it feels like she was training for that moment as her debut, essentially,
They trained her to be someone like a Brock Lesnar or a Big Show, which she is. So she doesn't have to do a lot, and she has to kind of pose and show off her strength and then just show off her body, because those are the two things that she's going to be known for, like her ridiculous physique and her intense strength, her crazy strength. So like in that match, it really didn't matter because she was not the focal point at all. She's taunting, and it's really just distracting to the fact that we want to see Shaq wrestle. But no, you're right. Right on the money that it was, she's been trained a specific way for a specific singles match that does not warrant a tag celebrity match.
Yeah. But she has a lot of potential. I'll give her that. I'll say, I am excited to see her grow, but I'll be excited probably in another year from now we're probably going to be watching her like every single week.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a pain in the ass. But in a year, she's going to be pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. And she is, She's got not just the look, but she also has some like a lot of charisma. She mm-hmm. does everything, and like I believe that she's a jerk. I'm starting like to believe that she's a jerk. Yeah, but as a character, oh, but as a also character. As a human, sure. she keeps it. She keeps it going. She knows how to be a jerk.
Yeah, she's
so
good.
I assume
at it.
As a human, she's good too.
But, yeah.
Excellent. Did you have any other woos?
I'm a fan of the Young Bucks Omega storytelling thing. I don't know what to call it. It's just a plot development. I just like that style that they specifically do, where it's like in-ring storytelling, soap opera style. Yelling at each other without the mics. I'm just a fan of how they pull that off, and they haven't done that in a while. So,
okay, and one I'm okay with that. That was kind of in my middle area.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. What I really did like, but it's in that same world with the Good Brothers versus Mox and Eddie. Mox and Eddie fit right in there because I think they do their best storytelling non-verbally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mox and Eddie know how to show everyone what they're saying with their body language, you know? And I feel like at the end when they were getting beat up by the Good Brothers and Young Bucks made the same, I just really enjoyed their dynamic and their storytelling by limping around and being, you know, fighters.
He breaks his, they break his ankle or whatever, and he's like, put me back in the ring with Mox. Did you like that?
That's cute.
Put me back in the ring with Mox.
Yeah, put me back in the ring with Mox.
I thought that was good, yeah.
That was very funny. That was very sweet.
Yeah, so the Young Bucks, they don't too sweet the group after the Good Brothers and Omega do some horrible heel tactics and try to, I guess, murder Jon Moxley with a chair in the ring.
Yeah, they're going to kill him.
Yeah, they're going to put a chair in and just smash his neck in or something. I don't know. But what do you think of that? Where that story is going, where they don't do it, and then Kenny like pushes Matt Jackson, so they're going to wrestle, or is it going to be Moxley and the Young Bucks?
So I kind of see that's going to be the Good Brothers. It's going to end up being Kenny Omega, Good Brothers, and Don Callis versus Mox, Kingston, and the Young Bucks, and some 8-man tag down the road. Like I could almost smell it already. But the thing is, I don't understand. I don't know. The Young Bucks don't do it for me. Good Brothers, I like them in smaller doses than when I'm getting them. I don't like. Yeah. I feel like they're. A reason why all the wrestlers love them is because they put on. They're believable and they always lose. They always. I don't think I've ever seen a Good Brothers win a match.
Yeah, I don't like. I'm not a fan. And
WWE, AEW. Yeah. I think they are just perennial jobbers, losers.
They're carnies. They're top carnies. If you ever hear the top carnies, in interviews or anything, I don't even think that's a bad thing. I think they just own that they're carnies so much that I'm like, yeah, of course, you guys are despicable. You know, I think they're interesting.
I'm just having trouble even following the story, honestly, yeah. Because I don't believe Young Bucks. I don't believe anything they say. I don't believe any of their actions. Kenny's great. I like Don. I think they're doing a good job. But the Good Brothers and Young Bucks, I could do without. I'm more curious about the Kenny Omega Moxley situation. That's the thing that I like their dynamic. And I like Eddie Kingston being in this mix now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I was really just paying attention to Kenny. I liked his acting, and I'm such a fan. I think it's I like that whole in-ring soap opera thing so much because they I'm just fascinated by it. I don't see a lot of people doing it to the degree that they do it, where it's real. Not this particular instance, but when they do it, it's very, very dramatic and intense, and it really makes the matches feel like larger than life, you know.
Yeah, I guess I noticed that they do it so much until you mention it now, but they do. And they do a good job of it when they do it right. And today was a good, they did it well. I was just a little the Young Bucks just annoy me. They just annoy me so much. And so even when they save Moxley, I'm just like, you scabs, you posers saving Moxley like you're tough.
I know.
You're not as tough as Mox.
No way.
And that's what I wanted to scream at them.
I like it.
Excellent. What did you think? One of my woos is the Phoenix versus Angelico match.
It was good. It was good. Those two are great. It's good to see them wrestle each other. I don't know. What did you think? I didn't have a lot of thoughts on it. I just thought it was good.
Love Angelico. Yeah, this is just on my lower end woos.
Yeah.
I really like Angelico, and I want to see more of Angelico. The thing is, what I fear for him is that he's the next generation Cesaro, where he has a very interesting style that no one else could replicate. He's so unique, and he puts on great matches all the time. And he's still pretty young, but he's going to be, because he can't talk, he's going to be perennially the guy that's right there putting on great matches, but losing to everyone.
Maybe. Yeah, they do seem like losers right now, which is a shame. Because they're both great, Angelico and Jack Evans. They're very low card at the moment.
Which is a shame, because I think Angelico has... I think I would love to see him versus Darby Allin right now. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be seeing that program. Ooh. That seems like a cool fucking program.
Do you remember in Lucha Underground when he jumped off the roof or whatever, the top of that space? I'll never forget that. It's just
right off the office.
Yeah,
the office.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I forgot about the office being there.
Man, I have to rewatch that show. It's on Netflix. Oh. It was on Netflix. I want to go through it all again. That'd be a fun thing to do.
That'd be a fun thing to do.
Oh, who, me? Do we have any other woos?
Darby Allin, he's declaring he's a fighting champ. I think that's cool. I think I like that he acknowledged how lame it is that he's only defended it 3 times. And AEW is tweeting out how he's, I think they tweet out that he's the longest reigning champ, or maybe that's not true. But they're like really praising him as a TNT champ because they have to. Mm-hmm. But I like that he was like, no, this isn't, you know, I hope it becomes more of a, like a thing that the TNT champ defends every week or as often as possible.
It should be.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I think that's this was in my middle ground, but that entire promo parade, I'm not sure how I feel about it just yet. So I guess Sting and Darby Allin come out to talk to Tony Schiavone, which I'm already so over. I love Tony Schiavone, and I'm over Tony Schiavone doing these Sting interviews. I'm so over it.
But he stopped screaming Sting, and that's a big thing. Sting! He stopped doing that, which I'm happy about.
I'm good. I'm glad about that.
At least he gave us that by stopping that.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Tony. but then Lance Archer and Jake Roberts came out, and Jake Roberts does a fine little thing. I'm not sure what it's leading up to. But then Team Taz comes out and Brian Cage grabs the microphone and I was like, oh no.
I was thinking about you.
I was about to text you being like, who gave Cage the microphone? Who gave Cage the microphone? Oh, no. But he actually did an okay job. He was just like, you know what? I respect you, Stig, my machine. And he said something like
turned into Don Corleone.
Like, you're the icon. And then Taz is mad at him. What do you think's happening there? What do you think happening with Brian Cage and Taz?
I think it's a big fart is what I think is happening over there. I think we just watched that visually. I think it's horrible. Why is it? It's just another thing that they're really bad starting these storylines these last 2 weeks. None of them make sense to me. Like, why would Brian Cage do that? Why would they do the exact same promo? Like Ricky said this 2 weeks ago, I respect you, Sting.
No one was mad at him.
Oh, well, with Ricky? Well, because it was the first one that he did it. It was the first, it was an interesting twist right before the big match. To have one of the heels come up and say, I respect you. It kind of adds a little, gray area. And then he turned it back and made fun of him and was like, but you're nothing without the bat, whatever he said.
Yeah.
The problem is it's the exact same thing. It's not great doing the same thing twice. It's a hat on a hat. It's too many hats.
There's too many hats on Brian Cage.
Yeah. So that's why I was like already like, come on, this is already stupid. Like, I'm not sure why. I am excited to see what he could do as a face. I like seeing people switch it up. And I'm excited. I'll be excited for the end result. I just think it was ridiculous how they just threw it out there suddenly. Brian Cage has been terrorizing Sting for like a month now.
Yeah.
He tried to break his back with the power bombs and all that stuff. Sting hit him in the face with a baseball bat. And now he's like, I respect you and I hate all my friends. It's crazy.
Oh my God, Mowat. What if he's breaking up with FTW?
Oh, that's right.
Brian Cage is, he's leaving FTW so he could be with his cousin.
Who's his cousin?
Christian.
Christian Cage.
Christian and Brian Cage. His cousin. He's going to have an enforcer. That's what we're going to do. That's what they're going to do. You'll see. You'll see. His first match, and then Brian Cage comes out. He's just like, and they like do the elbow bump or something.
Oh, but mentioning FTW, that might lead to some interesting places, too, if they end up feuding like Brian Cage versus Team Taz. He's got the FTW belt.
He's got the championship.
Yeah, so then they'll probably actually defend that in a real way. Like a legit, like Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks for the FTW belt. That could be pretty fun.
I would love that. I would love, and I think I mentioned this a while ago, FTW belt should be defended within his FTW cult. Like, you know, like the only people that are allowed to win the FTW championship are on Team Taz. And so they battle each other each week.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. Like, because the only people that defend against it, this is our company. This is our championship. I think that would be kind of cool.
It would sort of go against their whole, you know, take, like, it would weaken them by making them face each other constantly.
No, it would make them stronger because they all have to, like, imagine if you're just surrounded by people that want to beat you, you'd have to be tougher.
I guess so. Well, I mean, even your friends want to beat you is the situation. But yeah. I guess that's a very terrifying way of looking at life. But yeah, I suppose you're right.
I think if Taz were to run this country, it'd look a lot like that. Yeah. Taz for president. Moving on. That's. Do you have any?
No,
more
that's
moves?
It for me. That's it, Red. That's all the nice things I can say tonight.
And that's all the nice things I really have to say as well. But let's move on because we're not done talking about the nice things. We're talking some bad things with the Woods of AW. But what's your first? What?
Oh, God, Red, I was so disappointed by that Pentagon Jr. and Cody match. I had such high expectations for it, so I think it might... Yeah, I think it might be on me for having such high expectations. Maybe it actually is good, and I just, like, couldn't see it. It felt slow because I know what they both can do, so it just felt like it just never got out of that first gear. As another thing, as a side note, I say it never got out of first gear a lot, and I don't know... crap about cars. I don't know. Is first gear fast? Is it second gear? How many gears?
I think you're right. I think you're on the money. I think first gear is the slowest. I don't know anything about cars either, but I do say gears a lot. I love talking about gears. So I think first gear is the slowest gear. I'm gonna agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a way that, you know, never got out of neutral, I think would make sense for an automatic.
An email to loserleespod if you know anything about gears. Let us know if Moat and I are saying it right.
Yeah.
How many gears are there and which one's the fastest?
I'm going to guess five.
I was gonna say four, but five sounds better, honestly.
Well, there's just one more. That sounds that's really exciting. Imagine a car five gears. Wow.
Like if someone's just like, hey, you want this four gear car or you want this five gear? Honestly, I'd rather a six gear car if we're talking like that.
Yeah, it's like, do you want four horses or do you want 8 horsepower engine?
12. No, now we're getting crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how many horses can fit in a car. I don't really understand that either.
Actually, some have 250.
No way. This is a new... Yeah. Too many horses. Okay.
I saw that on a Ford commercial. but one other thing is, I think the reason why the match was so sluggish is because the Ford commercial.
I'm trying to calm myself down.
I think Cody legitimately is injured. Mm. And so that's why it was maybe a little bit. I wish it was just a short match. I wish Cody came out and then he got blindsided by Penta, who immediately beat the shit out of him with his arm and then broke it. And never, I don't even care if Penta wins the match with a pinfall. I want him to just come in here, break his arm, and then walk out and lose by count out. You know, something like that. But instead they had him do the arm breaker and then Cody no-sells it and pins him. Oof,
yeah. Real annoying. Why?
Only for him to kick his arm and beat up his arm afterward? Like, if you're going to be going out, why not give him something?
Yeah. And then mentioning Lucha Underground earlier, it's been on my mind because of they brought up the arm breaker again. They brought it up in a promo right before. And then last week he mentioned it as well. So it gave me high hopes that they were just going to lift that storyline from Lucha Underground, where the arm breaker was the most dangerous move in the world at that time. Because he would knock out opponents for weeks. They would be, obviously in story, but they would legitimately break their arms and they wouldn't be able to wrestle. And I thought that's what we were going to get with Cody, of all people, to start it out with, you know. But yeah, he does it. And I got so excited when he pulled it off. when he did it, and then Cody just like doesn't react to it at all, just, and I just
rolls
just
him
so
up
disappointed. Yeah,
rolls him up, and what a wasted opportunity, especially since Penta and Phoenix aren't tagging right now, and I thought they were trying to give like a serious consideration as Penta as a solo.
Mm-hmm.
But how could you give him serious consideration if he can't do a simple task of injuring an already injured person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and it, with his specialty move, like it felt really almost disrespectful. Like I almost felt like, is he leaving the company?
Well, in a,
are they dis like
in a weird way? This isn't
finish on the way out.
I had to remind myself that the arm breaker, Penta's arm breaker, isn't this revered move in AEW. It's revered in Lucha Underground. It's barely been seen in AEW and barely been talked about. Like, so it just isn't the same thing. And I hate that, but. It's just that version in AEW. It's just another move that he can do, and it's a powerful move, but not powerful enough to take down Cody.
It's just so upsetting. Yeah. I just wish it was that they had a little forethought, because they don't have a character like that. They don't have a character that has a sinister finishing maneuver that no one wants to take.
Right.
And I feel like that's a cool gimmick that you could give someone. And might as well give it to someone who deserves it, like Penta.
They got Britt Baker. But, Britt Baker, her claw. What the heck is it called? Oh my god.
The mandible.
No, I know the
lockjaw.
Name. Lockjaw. Yeah, yeah. Oh, lockjaw. By the way, that I love that she's covered in blood. She's absolutely covered in blood, but she still has the thought to be like, "You gotta sanitize. Yeah, I'm not sticking my hand in anyone's mouth without putting on a glove."
That's gross.
That's disgusting. Yeah.
She pulls out a bag of thumbtacks, but she's just like, her mouth is disgusting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And all, do you have any other what's of the evening?
No, nothing. The big tag match. Was just the
Jurassic
awkward.
Express Bear Country?
Yeah, Jurassic Express Bear Country
and
versus
Triple A Private Party Matt Hardy.
Yeah, just awkward. Not fun to talk about, I don't think. I don't know. They almost murdered Marco Stunt.
That was
scary.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
I'm upset that they didn't give Bear Country a time to shine. I felt like they never really got a moment in the match where they were kind of, besides the Marco Stunt throw.
I think there was just too much happening in it. There was just, I just didn't feel like anyone looked good. It was just so much, like bad chaos. Like just felt like there's no pace to it. And they tried to pull this thing off, or it looked like it's like Bear Country was trying to get one ahead of Jurassic Express, you know, and there's some conflict there. That might be fun to watch. I don't know.
But I'm excited for that eventual feud of Lucha Jurassic Express versus Bear Country. But this match was kind of nothing for me. Even though I do like the gimmick of Matt Hardy going for the pin and doing such a deep cover on Marco's stunt.
Yeah, with like the two legs pin.
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
He needed it.
That was good.
It was very funny. It's funny.
He did a weird thing. Did you notice that Marco was knocked out after whoever was the last person to do a move? Oh, the Isaiah
Private
Cassidy.
Party,
yeah,
Gin
whatever.
Juice.
Yeah. He was knocked out from that. And then Matt got caught, and he kind of kind of hopped around him. I think Matt thought Marco was going to stand up and then he could do his move. But then he's like, he did that, and then he just kind of shrugged and then picked Marco up and did the move. I don't know.
I think he was making a joke of just saying like, oh, like I'm going to go finish him off, like he needed finishing off.
Yeah.
So he's like doing his usual wind up for the twist of fate. But there's no need because he was already unconscious.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to make a joke, but it didn't translate as well.
Well, that works too, because Marco's stunt is a joke, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's a joke.
I feel bad for
he's
him.
A joke. But
I feel bad for him
unfortunately,
because
he... that's a good get to be that size and to be into wrestling. I'm sorry, like that's pretty cool to have that gimmick. Like Hornswoggle would love to have his spot right now.
Yeah, it's true. I'd like to see Hornswoggle.
Would kill to have that spot.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. And I still think he's got good matches, good potential.
Yeah, he could have some fun. Yeah. And he's fun. He's fun. I pick on him a lot. One thing I did want to ask you about, this was in my middles, Christian Cage, his promo.
I didn't hear it. My cat Atticus was howling. He wanted outside.
Oh,
he needed
sweet
food.
Pooch.
He needed to be held like a little baby. I didn't hear all.
Understandable.
Of it, so.
Understandable. The mascot of Loser Lee's Wrestling, Atticus.
Yeah.
It was very down the middle. He's just basically saying that he's known to make wrestlers better
and he's kind of like, he brings makes people lift up their game because he's so good, ask anyone, blah blah blah. He calls himself a workhorse, and he's like the workhorse Christian Cage, which is a cool moniker.
Mm-hmm.
The workhorse, and he kind of looks like a workhorse.
He kind of looks like a horse.
No, but he kind of has like a workhorsey look. Like, what he looks like mean? A workhorse. He's like a grizzled old mule. He looks like a mule.
he looks like a grizzled old mule.
Yeah, he kind of does. He kind of has.
It's in his eyes. It's those little like.
And he's wiry.
Eyes.
Yeah, and he's wiry. He's like in good shape, very lean and very stringy.
Yeah, yeah. Undernourished.
Very like very mule like.
Like a mule, yeah.
But that's about it. But do you have any?
That's
more,
pretty good. That sounds exciting. I'm excited to see where they take Christian. I want to see him fight. I wonder who he's gonna match up against first.
It's Omega. Oh, he called that out in this match. I'm not an old man trying to take anyone's spot. I'm just trying to take one spot, and that's Kenny Omega's or something like that. It was good.
Nice. Okay. Well, can't wait to see it.
Can't wait to see it. And we can't wait to have you listen to more of our podcasts. Thank you all so much for listening to the Loser Leaves Wrestling and the Loser Leaves Wrestling network of shows. It includes the News You Can't Lose. But make sure to like and subscribe and to follow us on Instagram at Loser Leaves Wrestling. Send some emails over to Loser Leaves Pod so Moa can go rifling through. He loves answering questions.
This guy loves
his questions.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I need questions.
Please check it out. Please feed Moet. Feed Moet more.
Ooh, that's a new one.
Feed Moet more. Yeah, that's going to go on a t-shirt. Let me write this down. Feed Moet more. We should start a pro wrestling team. But this has been Loser Leaves Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moet Jaswal.
Moet Jaswal, when karaoke opens it back up, what's the first song you're going to sing?
What's a good song? What do you think I should sing?
Any song!
No, what do you think we should do together?
We should do Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
Hey, thank you all so much. Bye-bye.